Hello and welcome to Multiform, an Xbox podcast. Every week we get together to talk about the Xbox news, rumors, and the games we've been playing. New episodes post Monday at 10 a.m. Eastern. This is episode 172. I'm Tim Shelton, and I'm joined this week by my friends Gus Harden. Threw him off by putting his name first.
And yes, you did. Yeah.
Spencer Rain.
Hello.
Busy week this week.
I have my eyes on my cat.
Oh, yeah. Gus got a cat this week, everyone. Round of applause in the audience. Oh, wait. This is not a live show. Thank you, Spencer. Thank you.
We need to put soundboards in here.
Yeah. Well, hey, yeah. We could do that. You made me forget. Oh, yeah. This week was the 20th anniversary of Xbox and Halo. So we're going to talk about that in a minute, as well as lots of other things that were in the news this week. But before we do, we always start by talking about what we got up to this week. And so I guess I'm going to go first because my stuff, I think I can blow through. It's a lot of updates to stuff that I've already talked about in past weeks. So, for example, I finished the campaign for Call of Duty Vanguard, and I stand by my statements last week, which is I really enjoyed the campaign. It was buggier than past Call of Duties, but I thought it had a few new interesting things, and it generally just satisfied in the way that a Call of Duty campaign satisfies. It was roughly 7 hours long. Yeah, Spencer, I see what?
Tim, I need you to drop the massive spoiler on how the game ends, like you told us in GroupMe. Just go ahead and do it.
Okay, well,
I don't
piss some
that.
People off.
No, well,
I'll have to
I knew,
read up.
Yeah, I'll catch you up later, Gus. I'm not going to ruin it for people. There's some people that probably still are going to play
it. All right,
it,
fine.
Less people are probably going to play it with the current controversy situation going on with Activision, which we are not going to talk about this week, but you can Google that if you want to see all the stock controversy and the CEO controversy. Anyway, so I finished Vanguard, and then my goal was to try and finish Guardians of the Galaxy before I went on Thanksgiving break to go out of town. And I did not accomplish that, but I'm at the very, very end. Like, I have a mission and a half left, but I really just am enjoying this game. And there's something, Spencer, that I can't wait for you to get to, just so we get to talk about it. There's a character that's in the back half
I'll
of
the
game.
I'll see it in January.
Yeah, that I really want to talk about. And maybe at that, we'll come back at a future episode and maybe do a spoiler cast and talk about the stuff in the story, since it's such a story-heavy game. But I really like it. Probably one of my top three games of the year is Guardians of the Galaxy. And then I also checked out Flight Sim, the Game of the Year update. I think it's called Game of the Year, or is it called something else? Yeah. And the first thing, the only thing I really cared about was that they added a fighter jet. So I jumped straight in, got a fighter jet. I did some maneuvers, some barrel rolls, some all kinds of cool stuff with it. I, you know, cut the throttle and did a dive and then pushed the throttle all the way up and tried to pull out of it. And I went to see how fast I could go flying over the United Kingdom.
Dude, the being able to spin in it was sick.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun in general, just because of it. It has so much speed and maneuverability.
Oh yeah, it's like flying the other planes. Just like I don't know, it's just like nothing compares. I'm not gonna fly anything else but an F-18 now from now on. Like nothing else is as fun.
Yeah,
yeah. I played it too, and that was the one thing I noticed immediately was is incredibly maneuverable compared to anything else in the game, which is expected obviously as a fighter jet, but it was pretty sweet. Did either of you figure out how to use afterburners? Like, are there afterburners? Because I couldn't figure it out.
No,
I'm
trying to figure out if I can use guns.
Yeah, it definitely doesn't have guns. Let me just
I guess
over.
I guess if I want to do that, I'll have to play like Tom Clancy's Hawks or like Ace Combat or something.
Yeah, they would get so many like requests from governments to take it down if they let you fly anywhere in the world with a armed airplane and simulate terrorist attacks. I played one other game, but we'll talk about that here in a minute. So if either of you wants to go next, Spencer, what'd you get up to this week?
Mostly a mixture of, I guess, we'll talk about it later, but there was a couple nights of Halo. We'll get to that later, though. Mostly just Forza. I did play a little bit of Skyrim today before we recorded this morning, just because I hadn't played it, I think, all week, really, after hitting it pretty hard last weekend. Obviously, Flight Simulator, played a little bit of that, just kind of screwed around with the jet, took a video of my screen, like a 50-year-old man, with the Top Gun theme song playing through the Spotify app on my Xbox, because I had to do that, of course. I don't know, can you, if you record something with Spotify playing, does it record that with your recording?
I don't think so. No, because it's a rights.
I didn't
issue.
Think so. That's why. Yeah, that's why I recorded it just with my phone, just like a 25-second video clip, and then sent it to the various group chats. But yeah, Forza, I have almost all of the. I think the only thing I've left to unlock, as far as like the big stuff, are a couple of the finale races, like the Colossus or the whatever the other ones, the Gauntlet. I can't remember what they're all called. There's like five or six of them. There's one for each category. But I have all the like story events unlocked and all of the side content, if you will, stuff separate from the races unlocked. And I'm like, I know you get the Koenigsegg Jesko, or however you say that, from completing the V10 story, but literally that must be the only story that all of my friends have done, because when I go through any speed trap, just about, it's like all the top speeds are with the Jesko. And then when I look at the leaderboards for the V10 story, everyone's already completed it, and I'm just now getting to it. I've done like the first three or four of them. But I mean, I'm not in any rush, I guess, to get it, even though it's apparently the fastest car in the game so far. I think, Tim, you said that you think the Sesto Elemento Forza Edition is the best car in the game, just combination of speed and handling, probably. Yeah. And I think I probably agree with you, because it's not like insanely fast. Like, it goes like 205, 210 without upgrades. But it handles incredibly well, which is kind of the difference, I think.
That's not personal opinion. That's just from what I saw in like the subreddit of the internet.
Yeah,
because
you don't have it. I do, though.
Yeah. So does Gus, I think. I'm the only one who doesn't.
No, every time I think I'm about to get a cool car from the wheel spin, I get like an emote or like 5,000 credits instead. I always get credits, and then I'll get a dress. Yeah, like you got sensor got a dress. I got the it was like an M3 GTR today, which is kind of cool.
Oh yeah, that's a very special car. The legendary one?
Yeah, it was the epic one.
That reminds me. It got its first patch this week, and it supposedly they fixed the issue with the Forza Motorsport 5 loyalty car wasn't popping for people, but that one still hasn't popped for me, even though they patched it.
Yeah, that hasn't worked for me yet either.
Also, I wanted to acknowledge, I saw on Twitter that they hit 10 million players, which is, they hit 10 million in one
that's
week.
That's crazy.
Which Forza Horizon 3 took almost 9 months, I believe, to hit 10 million. And the previous game took 2 years. Forza Horizon 3 took 3 years to hit 10 million. They did it in a week. That's insane.
Yeah. Wow. And that definitely has something to do with Game Pass, obviously.
Well, but because 3 and 4 were on Game Pass.
Right, but like, were they right at when they came out?
Well, I don't know about 3, but 4.
I feel like
3
was. Game Pass's player base
Game
also
Pass
wasn't
as popular
nearly
too.
As big. Yeah. So obviously the explosion
now,
of Game Pass. Yeah, the explosion of Game Pass is like a big part of that. Plus, I mean, it's the first Forza Horizon that I have not purchased a physical copy of. Granted, I haven't purchased it at all. Tim pointed that out to me because I had just been playing on Game Pass, but I remember that. I was honestly kind of sad. I was like, dang, I was like, I should just go buy it so I can have the physical copy.
But yeah, give Playground your money.
It's a worthwhile game. Yeah, it's because I have 2, 3, and 4 obviously all on Xbox One, and then I have one on 360. And man, what a ride it has been playing those games. I've always really enjoyed them.
I agree. I think this is obviously the first Forza Horizon that I have not purchased. Forza Horizon 4 I bought digitally because I did not buy it, believe it or not, on release day. I bought it a couple weeks later. That was because I wasn't working as well. I was in school still, so I didn't have as much money at my disposal. But anyways, forget what I was talking about. I know, Gus, you only have like 30 cars or whatever, but I do feel like they've made it a lot. It's a lot more difficult to get cars now than it was in the last game, it seems like, because I have like 90 cars, but go ahead.
All the cars that I buy are all, I buy like all like the common cars, because those are the ones I think are cool. Like it's like my Colorado ZR2 is like a off-road race monster. Like I have to touch the brakes on that thing unless it's like a 90 degree turn, because it literally just drifts through everything on the cross country races. It's so much fun. And then I like have other stuff.
Yeah,
like I'll
I'm kind of with you
a lot.
I'm kind of with you though in a way, because I have like about 80 cars, which seems like a lot, but a quarter of those are those stupid Formula Drift cars that I'm never going to actually use.
Yeah,
in a race.
Yep. Yeah, or like just like random, like the track toys. Like I like the Chatterham or whatever out of like a wheel span. Yeah. I'm like, I'm never gonna drive this ever, unless I have to for a race.
The BAC mono or the back mono. Yeah. I don't know if you
see like I bought BAC. The Dodge Demon today because it's sick and it's only like 175,000, so it doesn't break the bank for me to buy it and upgrade it.
Yeah, like I bought the first gen Ford Raptor because it was like I want pickup trucks and things to do so many of these off-road races, because obviously
that's what I bought the ZR2 for, because it was like 50,000.
So many of these races are off-road, very few of them are on tarmac, and so I don't have a lot of the cars that I kind of want to use for this. I mean, I know there's a ton of races, but at the same time, now that I have all the races unlocked, and I know there are more permutations because each seasonal update, there are new championships that you can do. And then each race can spawn its own championship anyway, you know, outside of the seasonal one. So I know that there's many, many permutations of the races, and it's not just what you see on the map once you have all the festival sites unlocked and all of the different levels of the festival sites unlocked. But it's still a finite list of races. And when you're someone like me who hates repeating themselves, like in conversation, it translates to video games. And I often don't really replay stuff, and I don't like doing things again that I've already done. Unless it's in pursuit of doing a better job, I guess. Like obviously I'm going to keep doing a PR stunt, you know, over and over again until I get the time or the speed that I want. But as far as races go, I'm not generally going to repeat them unless it's for a specific goal, like maybe a seasonal objective or something. So I've been more kind of conscious of that and buying more cars, I think, than I said I was going to, or that I usually do, just because I'm not getting many triple wheel spins or super wheel spins. I feel like I'm getting regular wheel spins constantly. Like you're constantly getting fed those, but like Gus said, it's like, I mean, obviously there's only one spin, you know, so your odds are lower of getting cars in the first place. But I feel like I'm getting credits and like emotes. I'm getting emotes constantly and things like that, or like celebration reactions and things like that. And since it's just the regular wheel spin, there's only the one option, and I'm not getting, you know, the other two where there's often a car. So I found myself spending more money on cars, and but I'm also, because I have fewer cars, I'm spending more money on upgrades, because I'm upgrading each car, not like maxing them out, because that kind of stupid sometimes, but just to like the max out. Like if they're like, say, 621, I'm upgrading them to 700. So they're the best of their category, and you're still racing against cars of the same category in PI, but you're not going crazy beyond that.
Yeah, I spend almost all my money on upgrades, it feels like, anymore. Like,
yeah,
because like I said, the cars that I buy are not super expensive, like, but the upgrades that I buy sometimes like are like the same price as the vehicle.
Yeah, the other night we were in a party with our friend Ben, and I don't know, Gus, if you did, but Ben and I both bought the F450 dually, because we both hadn't had it gotten it
yet. Yeah, no, I didn't. No, okay. I'm the one who bought it first, and then you guys were like, yeah, and we all, one now.
And since it's a Ford, there are so many engine options. Like you can put a V12 in it, you can put a V10 in it, a couple different V8s. And so I think the best engine was the V8 twin turbo. And I don't know what that's from. Maybe the second generation Ford GT or one of their other race cars. I don't know, because the current gen GT only has a EcoBoost V6. Anyways, and you can upgrade that engine to have like 1800 horsepower. And so, and you can drop the weight of the dually truck down a couple thousand pounds. I mean, it's an 8,000 pound truck, I'm pretty sure, or 6,000 pound truck, stock. And then you can drop it down to 4,000 something and, fully upgrade it. We know with the best wheels and tires and everything. And you can go like over 200 miles an hour with it. And it's just hysterical, just flying down the road in a dually going 200 miles an hour. And it's funny because the physics with it are such, and I think because it's so long, it can roll really easily or tip. And I was going like, I was getting a little two wheel, I guess it's six wheel action, or three wheel action on the side. And then sometimes when you hit the gas, like it's like one of those wheelie cars in the front will pick up a little bit, not like off the ground crazy, but just like enough that's kind of funny to see. But yeah, I bought the, I know Tim, you said this is one of the first things that you did, but I bought the house that allows you to free travel or fast travel anywhere on the map once I unlocked it, because you have to complete the Baja Expedition, which was the last one I did, of course. So I got it at the very end there.
Oh, that's nice to know. I'm going to make sure to do that.
Yeah, yeah, it's all the way on credits. The west of the map.
Yeah, oh, 2 million credits. Oh, 2 million? That's nothing. Wasn't it for like 10 million for the fast travel one in the last
one? No, I think it was a perk. Oh no, you're right. It was a house. I don't
houses gave you perks.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of Forza Horizon 3.
It's the second most expensive house. There's another one that's 5 million in this game.
Yeah, like the castle.
No, in this game there's a 5 million and I don't know if it's a castle.
There's a
5 million. I'm saying the castle in the last game was like 10 million, like Edinburgh Castle or whatever.
That was the last one I got in that game.
Which is I
also finished going around and getting all the fast travel boards. So that combined with the house, now I can fast travel anywhere. So it makes it really easy to redo danger signs because you can just fast travel back to the beginning of it. And with the Series X, there's no load time.
I know. That's the craziest thing about this game. Honestly, because like I remember Forza Horizon 4 was a dog on even the Series X. Like, I don't know why. I mean, it definitely was on the original Xbox One. It took forever to load anything. But even on the Series X, or not the Series X, the One X, it was pretty slow. And then on Series X, obviously it was fast, but I don't notice it being any slower loading this game, which is insane to me.
Yeah. Mentioning Ben again, I was talking to him last night about quick resume and being able to quick resume back into Forza after playing another game. He was like, man, it's like my PC can't do that. And I wish it could, cause that would be nice.
Yeah. Quick resume is super nice. Cause I got back into Skyrim, like I said, today for the first time in probably 5 days, maybe. And it was where I had left it. Like, I totally wasn't even thinking about it. Just hopped right back in. I was like, oh yeah, here it is. Skyrim obviously loads immediately, too, on the Series X.
Yeah, being a 10-year-old game.
Yeah.
It honestly, even with enhancements.
So, actually, I'll be done here, I promise. I got into Oblivion for, like, 10 minutes today because of the FPS boost that we'll talk about here in a second. It was one of the newest ones that they did. And I think Skyrim loads faster than Oblivion does. And I got to believe it's just because Oblivion's just not optimized. Like, it hasn't been touched in years and years, whereas Skyrim obviously just got a huge update.
Yeah, Skyrim got the next-gen update, so it probably uses the Direct Storage API, which isn't part of Oblivion. So Oblivion can use the faster speed of the SSD, but it can't use the tech that it makes the SSD the most efficient.
Yeah, so I thought that was kind of funny. I noticed that today. And also quickly, there was no music. And I wonder if this has something to do with the FPS boost. I don't know how it would. It makes no sense because when they talked about the FPS boost technology this summer, it's at least the way that they do it. I don't know the technical terminology for it, but to me, when they explained it, it was almost like they were tricking the game into running in 60 FPS. So I don't know if whatever the update was that allows them to do that did something, because there was no music and I had my music setting turned all the way up. It was very strange. Multiple saves.
Like
I tried different characters.
Normally they still bug check these. I mean, yes, they trick it by telling it hasn't rendered a frame, so it renders another frame, but that shouldn't affect, like, they wouldn't have put it out if it had that much of a significant bug, unless, you know, you're a really rare case or something that they weren't able to catch.
Could be. Well, so I Googled it, you know, Oblivion, music glitch, Xbox Series X, and there wasn't anything. It was funny though, I did find a Reddit article from 2 weeks ago where somebody asked if Oblivion runs better on Series X than on anything else. And somebody in the comics was like, oh yeah, it's locked 4K 30 FPS. And I was like, not anymore. It's not 4K 60 FPS. But yeah. I'll stop there.
So I know a lot, we're obviously a bunch of new games out recently that we're all playing a lot of. So we've kind of crossed over a bunch here. And Gus, you've played a bunch of the games that we talked about. The one I see we haven't talked about that is on the list is Battlefield 2042. Gus,
yeah.
Have you gotten any more time with it? Do you have any thoughts? It does not seem to be being well received by the community.
Yeah, man. And I played it last night with Ben and both of us kind of agreed. Even with 128 players, man, the maps are still too big. Like, they're the maps are too big. And the weapon bloom is, like, another thing that's gotten a lot of flack online as well recently. Like, that, like, my shots are just flying around people, even though I have them, like, in my sights. And it's like, if you shoot once, your first shot's going to be on target, but then you either have to wait, like, another full second before you shoot again, before it's going to be like an actually on target shot. And it's just kind of wacky. And the draw distance looks kind of bad too. Like, stuff in the distance doesn't look very good. Like, when you're using, like, I mean, it never really has in those games. Everything is almost like one pixel from far enough away. But that's like, smudgy. I guess it's kind of realistic. But yeah, yeah, it just feels like it's like just completely unrendered.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I mean, to see enough fun with it. If this has a redemption story, like how Battlefield 4 did after launch, or if this is going to be more like a Battlefield 5 that never really kind of reaches the heights of its predecessors. Yeah,
it's hard to say. Like, I played okay. I got a few kills, but our team got stomped, and then we immediately switched to Halo, and we played Halo, and then we switched after that back to Forza because it was like really late, and neither of us wanted to like be trying particularly hard to play games. So we just raced cars instead until we got off. But yeah, I mean, like I said, I only got one more game into it.
Forza is so good for like a chill game after you're like ready to spin down for the night or like, yeah, it's just great. Like I've been playing Apex. Yeah,
it's therapeutic for sure.
Yeah. Very relaxing. I like it.
Yeah. So
unless you're doing the Battlefield Goliath or something and you got a nail bite because it's like 20 minutes long.
Oh yeah. Yeah. No, but the Battlefield overall, I don't know. The more I play the trial, the less inclined, and the more fun that I have with Halo, the less inclined I am to get Battlefield right now. Yeah, Halo really did kind of kill Battlefield, I think, with its multiplayer release. Personally,
yeah. Well, let's move on, and we'll get towards that because Halo is going to be involved in our first story of the week, which is so moving on to the news. The 20th anniversary of Xbox and Halo. So we talked about this about a month ago. They announced that they were doing a special stream on the anniversary to celebrate Xbox. They said they would have no major new game announcements, and they basically tried to downplay expectations. But they actually announced quite a few things. I've got four major things, and I guess one of them kind of has a subpoint that they announced. The first one is they announced a documentary called Power On, The Story of Xbox, which is coming on December 13th. It sounds like this might be free. I'm not sure if it's going to be bought or free. They say it's going to be on Roku, IMDb TV, YouTube, Redbox, and others. I'm not sure. It seems to me that that they don't mention like Google Play and Apple makes me think it's free and not paid. What do you think?
I was going to say, I know IMDb TV, you can watch things for free. Their ads, because you can like there's like a way. I don't know if it's through their app. Like you can't do it on the website. You have to use the IMDb app, like on your phone or iPad or whatever. But I'm pretty sure they're free. Usually.
Yeah. I mean, even if this was money, if it's reasonably priced, I'd be interested in renting it or buying it, but it has to be pretty cheap because I'm not huge on like documentaries or buying movies in general.
It'd be kind of cool if they could integrate it into like the Halo Waypoint app on the Xbox or just the Halo Infinite app, you know, like have like a, I can't remember if they said they were bringing theater back from, you know, from Halo 3, but it'd be kind of cool if there was like a way to launch it out of the Halo Infinite app.
Yeah. I mean, and it's also weird that they didn't list that they're going to put it on the Microsoft store. Like they literally have their own video streaming service built into Xbox. So maybe it'll come there later, but it seems like maybe they are putting it on streaming partners that have ad support. I think that you might be onto something there. They're doing it free with ads. So the second announcement was they added 70 new backwards compatible games. Actually, my notes here are wrong. It says 70 plus. It's actually 76 new games. And a bunch of them have FPS boost. I think it was 11 new have FPS boost. And then they went back and added FPS boost for 26 titles from the existing catalog, with some big ones in there, like all the Gears of War games, including the Gears of War 1 remaster, Fallout 3, Fallout New Vegas, Elder Scrolls 4, Oblivion, Dragon Age Origins, Dead Space 2 and 3, Alan Wake, Sonic Generations, and then many, many more. So they also clarified after this announcement, these 76 games are the final backwards compatible games. All remaining Xbox 360 titles either have legal or licensing issues that prevent them from being released on Xbox One. So they said the passion of their fans basically drove them to go back and look at what they'd already done and see if there were any that didn't quite make the cut that they could get over the finish line to celebrate the 20th anniversary. So I think this is really cool. It's also nice to know that we now have a definitive end. Like it's very, very final. So what we have is what we have. I think there were some really good classic games that got brought forward. It's escaping me. They had it in their article. I know Fear 1 and Fear 2, some other original Xbox games were in there as well.
Yeah, Spencer. the Yeah, so the one that I saw that I was excited about was Secret Weapons Over Normandy. It was a game that I played on PS2, same era as the first Mercenaries game and the first Battlefront game. Also a LucasArts game, just like Battlefront obviously was, and Mercenaries wasn't LucasArts, it was Pandemic, but Secret Weapons Over Normandy was a LucasArts game. And I bought it for the original Xbox probably 10 years ago because I wanted to play it on my 360, and it wasn't backwards compatible on my 360 back then. And it's just been sitting in a box, inside of a box in my parents' basement for the last 10 plus years. I never got rid of it, but now I could get it next time I'm home at my parents' house and bring it back up and play it on my Xbox Series X, which would be quite the feat.
Three console jump.
It's 18. Yeah, well, and it just actually, so I follow this account on Twitter that's like a LucasArts, you could almost call it like LucasArts, like historian account, because they tweet things periodic, like they tweet during the week of historic release dates of LucasArts content, basically. And Secret Weapons Over Normandy was released 18 years ago this past week in November of 2003. So it was kind of, I think it was like the same day. I think it might have been November 20th, or not November 20th, November 15th when they did the stream. So yeah, that was the one that I was like, oh yeah, that's pretty sweet. But yeah, you're right. The Fear franchise was another one I think that was pretty big. I didn't realize I know you said this. Oh yeah,
Max Payne series was added. That's a big one too.
Yeah.
What about Fallout?
Also, well, I was going to say, I know you said this in our group chat, but I just forgot that both Fallout 3 and New Vegas were added to the FPS Boost program. And I'm tempted to download one of those and try it out. Fallout New Vegas was the last game I played on my original Xbox One, believe it or not. It was the game I was playing the day my One X arrived in the mail. I just remember that. I don't know why. So I actually have played that pretty recently, only within the last 3 years, I guess. So I'm a little tempted to download one of those and just kind of see what it looks like. I mean, because Oblivion, you can totally tell, is in 60 FPS. Like it looks, it's really smooth. The Gears of War one, actually, that one is intriguing because those games, I feel like, really are the type of game, because of the color palette and just the way this game plays, could really benefit from an FPS boost. And I've never played the remaster or whatever it was called of Gears of War 1, obviously on Game Pass. So I'm kind of tempted to try that out, but I know I don't have the time for it, but it is interesting. It's kind of in the back of my mind as an option.
Yeah, I would love to try that out too, but I know I'm not even going to put it on my list because I don't have time right now. So, and I never will. So the third thing they announced during the show was the Halo TV show got its first teaser trailer, which is basically Master Chief. It shows a couple things of Cortana, I think. No, it didn't show Cortana. I'm thinking of the Halo Infinite trailer, but it basically showed him suiting up in his armor. You saw his from the back, his helmet going on the back of his head. And it showed, I forget, was the date there or did it just say 2022? I think it just said 2022.
It just said 22, yeah.
And this is coming to Paramount Plus. It was originally announced for Showtime and then they shifted it to Paramount Plus, which for me, T-Mobile gives a free year of Paramount Plus. So if anyone out there has T-Mobile.
I also have it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you have it too. So if anyone in the audience has T-Mobile, wow, just threw my phone across my desk. You can sign up for that and be able to
I had Tim has year. T-Mobile. He wanted to know.
Yeah, well, I don't anymore because I just snapped my phone in half.
Yeah, well, I thought you were going to say I have T-Mobile, so I'm going to, you know, use that free year to watch this. But then I was going to say, well, I have it and I can just don't listen Paramount Plus, but I'm going to share my login with somebody that's not in my family. Immediate family.
Yeah, not in your immediate family, but we are brothers. Step or what? Brother-in-law.
Stepbrothers. Yeah.
Step-brother. Brothers by law.
brothers in the law, but I'm not a lawyer. So, okay. And the fourth one, this is the big one, is as the leak said last week, they shadow dropped Halo Infinite multiplayer. They are doing it under the guise of a beta, but they basically released the game in its final form and progress carries over. You can play it now. It's the full multiplayer experience. They also extended season 1. It's now going to go now through May. And they said they did that to give the team more time so they don't have to crunch on all the content they're working for season two and season three. And if you're listening to this podcast, the first event is going to be live in Halo Infinite this week, the week of November 22nd. And that's where you can earn that cool samurai armor. And this is the coolest part. All cosmetics are free in these events. So no paid battle pass for the events. You just have to do event challenges to unlock stuff. Yeah, Gus, what do you got?
Yeah, it being a beta, air quotations, is very like when I saw that, I was like, I don't know. It's like I haven't seen too many betas that are this polished. So I mean, yeah, obviously we all played the tech test and there were some issues there. That was more of a beta than this is. But yeah, this is pretty much the full on thing.
They're just covering their butts with the name of it because it is pre-release.
Honestly, I'm fine with them calling it a beta because I think it gives them the leeway to change things. Like we've already seen kind of complaints about the progression system, and I think that they can just easily change that. Yeah,
50 XP for a loss, 100 for a win.
Yeah, and I think they can easily change that. Like, oh yeah, we were just experimenting with it because it was a beta, which is totally fine with me. I don't have a problem with it because I think Gus is right. I mean, technically, from a technical standpoint, you know, it's pretty polished and definitely better than most betas are.
Yeah, Gus, you bring up a good thing. There was complaints about the Battle Pass progression, and they've already patched it once. So on Wednesday, I think it was Wednesday, they released a patch to increase how quickly people were leveling up by adding some challenges and getting rid of some bad ones. They said there's still work to be done, but I will admit, in my time playing the game so far, it does feel like progression is pretty slow. Also,
I'd say about
80% of my matches are Capture the Flag, no matter what playlist I play in, which is kind of annoying.
Spencer and I noticed that too.
You need a dedicated Slayer playlist. We need a Slayer playlist.
I don't know, maybe that's what I was looking for. I was like, where's Slayer? When Spencer and I got on, I was like, where's the Slayer playlist? That's all I want to play. And I realized you had to go into like quick play and there's only like a small chance you'll get it because it's mostly either Capture the Flag or Oddball.
Or
Or King Strongholds.
Strongholds, yeah.
Yeah, well, anything.
Which I actually like that. I like that game mode a lot.
Time for me.
Yeah.
Well, here's what I think is
going to
happen.
I don't know who decided.
After launch, they're probably going to add more options. I think it's just right now they're keeping it really finite so they can track all the data.
Yeah, and hitting on the experience system, I don't know who was like the one that decided that, like, what constitutes like a good XP system. But I 50 and 100 XP would be fine if you just need to drop the cost that takes to get to the next level. Like, it seems like people are always like expecting hundreds of experience like per game mode or whatever, which I guess, like I said, if your experience cost is lower for stuff, then it doesn't really matter overall. But I haven't really taken a good look at it. I just remember Halo Reach had like particular ranks that would take forever to level up from like Warrant Officer Grade 3 to get from Warrant Officer Grade 3 to like the next level, like Colonel or whatever, took like 2 weeks for me back in high school. Like that, and then there was one like in like Colonel, and then there was one at Brigadier, and it was just like, there was always one rank that was just like you would see people would be like at like a stopping point. Like everybody in your game would be like Warrant Officer Grade 3 on Halo Reach at one point, just because it's like it just took so long to get out of it.
But that was the one that I stopped at.
Yeah, so it's like there's ways to get around it. Like I said, if they just dropped the XP cost to get leveled up or whatever, then it wouldn't be as big of a deal.
Was this the game that the developer said that they want to run it for 10 years at one point?
I don't remember.
I think so.
Or was that Assassin's Creed?
I mean, it's with a name like Infinite, that it seems like that would be the kind of game that they are expecting to launch a big platform off of for the foreseeable future.
You know, I feel like a lot of games try and do that, though, and then 4 years from now, 5 years from now, the player base is going to have dwindled, and they're going to be like, we're announcing Halo 6.
Yeah, but still, I mean, still 4 or 5 years is a pretty good lifespan for games anymore these days.
I know, like, everybody's
games
chasing
like Avengers
Overwatch.
That can barely even make it out of its first year.
Yeah, people are chasing Overwatch and Siege and Fortnite, these games that are perpetual that still have huge player bases after 5+ years. And there's not
Siege apparently sucks right now. So I've heard.
Interesting. Well, I mean, I don't know about sucks because it's still played by like 60 million people, but
the people who do play it are like not enjoying like the most recent updates from this year. Like they think that it's like ruining the game or making it not as good.
Is what
my point was.
I haven't kept
not
up that with
the
that
game
one.
Itself is bad.
Yeah, I gotcha. Yeah, so I guess final thoughts on Halo Infinite so far. I'm really enjoying the multiplayer. I definitely agree that the progression does seem a little slow. I'm sure they'll get it right eventually. I'm willing to wait. I'm not really that invested in the progression. I haven't bought the Battle Pass though, because I figure there's no point yet because I have so long. I can always do it later.
Yeah, that's a good point too. I mean, you can always buy it and get what you missed, you know, earlier. Well, missed as in like you would have unlocked earlier had you purchased the Battle Pass. But yeah, no, this just makes you really excited for the campaign because I think the gameplay is really smooth. Some of the new weapons, like I said in the tech test, are kind of a miss for me. Like the commando rifle, I think it takes a lot of skill compared to the BR or the AR, which is that new like 20 shot in a magazine rifle. And then yeah,
it's like the DMR.
Yeah, it's like the DMR, but not as good because the DMR was good.
The DMR was chunky when it would hit people, like it's like thunk thunk thunk.
Yeah,
when you were shooting.
But yeah, I mean, some of the new stuff, I don't remember exactly the names of all the new guns, but I mean, yeah, by and large, I think a lot of the new stuff is just kind of meh for me. Part of that, I think, is just because I was like you guys were saying, and you're always in like CTF or Battlegrounds or whatever it's called. And so there isn't as much variety, I think, in the weapon spawns. The Ghost, I played one game of Big Team Battle and I got a Ghost and immediately got a Running Riot. So I was like, yep, Ghost is still amazing. So, like I said, this makes me really excited for the campaign. I know there was some campaign impressions this past week that people were allowed to disclose. And by and large, I just said that again. But it seems like they were all really positive and people are very much excited for this campaign to drop in a couple of weeks. And I am one of those.
Yeah, you beat me to it. I was about to say the media got 4 hours early access to try out the campaign and all the stuff I've read looked really positive. So pick your favorite game news website of choice and go check it out because I'm sure they probably have a preview up. I even saw they got a lot of creators in there because some of the people I follow on YouTube that aren't media that are just streamers or whatever also had gotten into play. So it seems like they had a pretty good wide range of different types of people to get experience on the game. I'm really excited about this. And what we got, 2 weeks? 2 weeks to go?
Yeah, so I think so.
Awesome.
It's been a minute for me since I've been really into Halo, personally. Like, I got into Master Chief Collection for a bit, but never really, like, it's like, because I played the crap out of Halo Reach and ODST and Halo 3. Towards the end of its like big lifespan, like so, like I was playing Halo 3 in like 2009.
Man, Halo is what brought me to Xbox. I saw someone playing it, and I was like, I have to have this game. That was 2002 or 2001.
The year they took to polish the game has seems to have been very well spent. So
yeah,
that's all I can really say about it. Yep.
Okay, let's move on. Number two, Outriders is getting a huge update and it's live now. They're calling it New Horizons. It came out November 16th. And then let me get my voice ready. There's quite a list here. So they added 4 new expeditions in new areas never before seen. They added transmogrification, which they were very specific to say is just straight up. Once you get a piece of gear, it unlocks that customization for any other piece of gear of the same class. No in-game currencies. No cost, no microtransactions, which is kind of a dig at other games like Destiny that have made transmog really, really complex where you have to use in-game currency and it grind to do transmog. So they did it the right way. You can just do it. Also, this is the coolest thing. You can take a gun and swap it with a completely different gun that has nothing to do with it just so it looks cool. So you could have like a shotgun that looks like, I'm not sure if you could do like a shotgun that looks like an assault rifle or if it still has to be a shotgun, but either way, some of the stuff they were changing was pretty drastic. Like they took one character class and had them look like a different character class and still keep the character abilities from the first class. So that was pretty cool. Also, they removed the timers on expeditions. So this is like the end game content. And what the timer did was it made people only want to complete the shortest expedition. And they wanted to dump anybody that they got match made with that wasn't like speed running it. and it made anybody that didn't have a DPS build that was all damage like worthless. You couldn't play any other build because it would make your timer go up and you'd get worse loot. So they got rid of that. They also are doing a new random legendary option at Tiago vendor. They've also done some increased ways to do loot farming where you can basically grind for legendaries you don't have. And in some cases, you'll get three options to pick ones. They've also done deduplication, so you don't get duplicates, things like that. They've made it so you could skip the opening screen with the developer's logo so you can get into the game faster. And this is honestly, they did more than this. I just took the bullet notes of the big stuff. This is awesome because they've been very clear that their game is not a live service game. So what they did is they took all the feedback they got at launch and they put it into one giant patch. And yeah, it took a couple months to get here. But to be honest, I'm gonna jump back in and just play it. I'm probably not going to play a ton of it because I don't have the time, but I do appreciate it and it does sound awesome. Alongside this, though, they also announced that they're doing an expansion, a new DLC expansion that's coming next year. It's called World Slayer. And like I said, it'll be here in 2022. So I don't think either of you ever checked out Outriders, but I mean, from what you're hearing here, obviously sounds good, right?
Yeah, I mean, it sucks for them that they announced this on the same day that the Halo stuff dropped, because I don't think they would have done that if they had known that Halo was going to do that. But yeah, I think it's good that they're doing this, because I know the big complaint from most people with this game is that, when did it come out? Did it come out in January or was it February?
It was January
or
February, because it was so early in the year.
Right, and I think the biggest complaint with this game at this point was that it's been out for almost a year and there's been no major content update.
Oh, I'm wrong. April 1st.
Okay. Well, I mean, that's a long time ago in the video game space. So,
yep.
And so I think this is something that the game definitely needed, and people that play it are excited, I'm sure. But I mean, yeah, I don't have time. I know you can play this game solo. You don't have to play with friends. I know people have done that and they've beaten the story that way. So that's not as big of a concern as it maybe normally would be for me with an online game, but I mean, I just don't have time for it right now. And I hope it's not too late for them, because I know their numbers have dropped off pretty dramatically the last few months. And now with Battlefield out, with Halo out, with Call of Duty out, it is good timing from that perspective with those games that there's something here now to help set them apart, and just to add content and hopefully bring people back and then attract new people. So it is good timing, but it's also just unlucky for them that it happened when it did.
Yeah. But also, I mean, I just want to give them praise for the fact that they put this much content into the game 6, 7, 8 months after release, when it's not a live service game. And they probably have shed a lot of their player base, right? Because it is a game with a finite end. And then it does have some in-game content, but not everyone's going to stay and grind that out on a game that isn't constantly evolving. My only regret is that I didn't grind it out long enough to play the Eye of the Storm, which is like their big final mission in the end game. So that would be my goal if I were to jump back in, is to go back and play the end game content, since now it would be a lot easier since they've added all these like quality of life features. I did re-download it. I'm going to jump back in, but I'm probably only going to give it like an hour or two, or enough time to do one expedition and maybe the Eye of the Storm, because as we know, I always bite off more than I can chew, and I got to stay on track. I'm actually making progress right now. I beat Vanguard in 1 week. I've got one level left in Guardians. And then I'm going to jump right into Halo. I'm chugging away. I've already got like 20 hours in Forza Horizon 5. I think I was at like 17 or 18 hours last time I checked. So I'm making a lot of progress on new release games, and I want to keep my progress moving forward. Okay, well, let's move on to number three, because it's on a similar topic. So we talked about the Grand Theft Auto, the trilogy, I want to say remaster, but they call it Definitive Edition, when it came out, and that, you know, we had tried it and we had some bugs and some things that we weren't really satisfied with, and it kind of didn't scratch the itch of nostalgia. Since then, YouTube, as they do, have done deep dive analysis on all the weird quirks and bugs and things that are worse about these new remasters compared to the originals. And the backlash has been swift and mighty. So much so that we finally got a response from Rockstar. They have a rather long response on their blog. I retweeted it if you want to go check it out. But I'm going to just pull out one little quick excerpt here that kind of sums up what they were trying to say. Quote, "The updated version of these classic games did not launch in the state that meets our own standards of quality, or the standards our fans have come to expect. We have ongoing plans to address the technical issues and to improve each game going forward. With each planned update, the games will reach the level of quality that they deserve to be. So my immediate thought was, I mean, it's great you're apologizing now, but how could you not know how bad this was? I mean, this is worse at launch than Anthem. This is worse at launch than Battlefield 2042. This is worse at launch
or Cyberpunk
than Cyberpunk. Yeah, I mean, yes,
depending on the console you're on, I guess.
It's also, it's a remaster of a really old game, and it can't even hit 60 FPS steadily on console. Like, none of it makes sense. The rain bugs, the audio glitches, the missing textures, like, there's just so much wrong. Honestly, I was shocked when I saw Digital Foundry's video of GTA 3 and how bad it was, how much stuff they were able to find that just was completely broken. So I'm glad they're sticking with it. That part makes me happy. But the fact that it's out like this at all makes me really upset. I'm glad that I got to play it without paying any money through Game Pass.
Me too. I already uninstalled San Andreas because I was just like, after all, like, I only played it for a little bit. And then after all this came out, I was just like, yeah, with all these other games that I got to play right now, do I really want to like worry a little bit about spending time on this? No. So it's gone.
Yeah, I was in the exact same boat. I already uninstalled it. Same day, I think I uninstalled Avengers because I was like, yeah, this is worse than an existing superhero game that I have that I paid money for. And it's in that game, which is a good game, is already like fourth on my list. So there's no reason for this to be installed right now. I still have Shadow of War installed. So that tells you what I think of Avengers, which is a game that I've played like the first 2 hours of. Anyways, I mean, some people were calling this a cash grab from the very beginning. And I think we were willing to withhold that judgment until we had actually seen it or played it, rather, because I thought the trailers and the gameplay that they showed us before release looked okay. Like, it didn't look awful. It definitely didn't give you the impression that it was going to be terrible, which I would argue this is pretty close to terrible. And so I was kind of withholding that judgment until I played it. Turns out, well, maybe that's not the case. Maybe it is a bad game. And I think, you know, Rockstar's recent track record, you know, aside from Red Dead, which I know saying aside from Red Dead is kind of stupid, but just with the way that GTA has gone as a franchise lately between these remasters, the continual pumping in of content that you have to pay money for, basically, if you want to be good at it in GTA Online, now a third generation console generation for GTA 5. I mean, they're doing a lot of stuff lately that is a little disappointing and could be argued as just a money grab and not really trying to make content for the fans that care. Because there's definitely plenty of people that, you know, this GTA trilogy is very beloved. People like you, Tim, but even more so that, you know, these were games that they grew up with, and this is something that they've wanted for a long time. And beyond that, they removed the old versions of the game, and then I guess they re-added them, at least in a timed manner, you know, for a few months. But
no, they only re-added them on PC, and they only re-added them on the Rockstar launcher. So you can't get them on Steam, you can't get them on Xbox, okay. You can't get them on PlayStation.
Right, so they've sort of re-added them, and it's only through Rockstar that you can buy them, go figure. So I don't know. I mean, we've talked about in years past that they've had a little bit of a brain drain there post Red Dead Redemption 2. And honestly, they haven't really done a whole lot since Red Dead Redemption 2 that gives me a good feeling. Like, I think they've lost a little bit of credibility. I'm sure if GTA 6 ever comes around, it'll be a great game, but for now it's just kind of like, huh? I mean, what have you done for me lately, Rockstar? I think they could have rested on Red Dead, you know, and not done anything, not done these remasters, not done anything for several more years, you know, cooking something in the behind the scenes, whether that be GTA 6 or not, or a new IP. And I think people would have been fine with that. But for them to just throw this out here when they don't need the money, because we know how many copies GTA has sold, we know how many copies even Red Dead has sold. And yet they did it, and they did a poor job is disappointing. But I think what my point is just, it's not, there's a little bit of I've kind of expected it, you know, in the background, I think, for me at least.
Yeah. I've kept it installed just because I want to know when there's updates so that I can go read the patch notes and kind of track the history of this one. But I don't expect that I'm going to jump into it until it's had five or six patches and hopefully the majority of issues are fixed. But I really have a problem with all the ports of these games because all of the ports to date have been based on the mobile ports, which are not great. And this port is actually an Unreal Engine rebuild of the mobile ports. Like, they didn't even base it on the original PS2 codebase, which is the best version of the game. In fact, I now own this in four places, right? Because I own the original PS2 versions. I own the Steam version. I own the Xbox 360 version of San Andreas. That's the only one I have on there. And then I have this version through Game Pass. So I could play San Andreas four different ways. And if I'm going to play them, the best version is the PS2 version, which I'd have to go find a PS2 and, you know, everything to play it.
The GOAT.
The Steam version, you know, even it's not perfect because it's based on the mobile version, but at least it has the original, like, not the any of these new bugs of this remaster. I don't know. Like I said, I'm going to keep it installed so I can see when there's an update, go read the patch notes, maybe drop in for a second to see if my nostalgia has been fixed. But this just makes me incredibly sad. Because Rockstar has always been this high bar of quality, right? Like, Rockstar, when GTA 4, GTA 5, Red Dead Redemption 2, Red Dead Redemption 1, each of these games was like everybody else got out of the way, right? It was a monster of a game that you knew the polish level was going to be insane. When GTA 5 came out, there were all these videos of like all these insane details in Grand Theft Auto 5. Like, when you walk into the water, your clothes would only
get
wet. Yeah,
not to mention Red Dead. Like, I remember Absolutely. When we were covering Red Dead before it came out, and we were like the fact like the horses poop, we're like, oh my goodness, the detail.
Or exactly. If you had a male horse and you rode it into like the cold, like icy waters, the balls would shrink up.
Yeah.
I would like to be the guy that animated that.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, gotta do it, I guess.
Yeah. I don't know. We're going to continue to follow
little,
this.
Like, things like that. Like, yeah, that's what you come to expect out of Rockstar.
Also, this is the easy thing to say, oh, we're sorry, we're going to fix it. First of all, you had to have known it was going to be this bad, right? You have internal testing. You do maybe mock reviews or whatever. So first of all, they had to have known. Second of all, so they clearly pushed it out to get the revenue, and now they're going to fix it after the fact. Whereas the right thing to do would be like, oh, we're going to offer refunds. But they don't want to do that, right? Because that's going to hurt their financials, because a lot of people are going to backlash against the game and they're going to just get refunds because they can. But
yeah, and I wonder, because I don't think it's maybe as bad as Cyberpunk in some ways. Like, on PS4, clearly that was a worse experience, I think. Cyberpunk was on PS4.
That's true, yeah.
But like, Cyberpunk on a PC or an Xbox Series X is fine. Or it can run well at some points. So I don't think it's as dramatic as either refunds or, you know, Sony taking it off the store like they did with GTA or like what they did with Cyberpunk. So, you know, it's kind of like, some ways it's not as bad, but I think in other ways it's worse because you expected better from Rockstar, and these games have such a beloved past. Whereas with Cyberpunk, you expected a lot because of CD Projekt Red's pedigree and the hype. And depending on where you played it, it wasn't a bad experience. So similar in some ways, but different in a lot of other ways.
Yeah. So moving on, next story. Actually, am I skipping a story here? No, I'm not. Okay. So the November console update is out for Xbox. New features have been added. Nothing too notable this week or this month. We got new color filtering options for accessibility, mostly for colorblind options and gamers. They added some new audio options. The most notable is they now have like a testing screen like they do for video to test what your audio system is capable of, and then it gives you green or red check marks to tell you whether, you know, you can do certain things. And then the biggest feature is probably you can mute the speakers when you put your headset in. So this is actually a thing that happens to me a lot, where I put on my surround sound headset and get into a party and they're like, what's that sound? And it's because my TV isn't muted. This, however, does not fix the issue for me, because the Astro A50s, the way they connect to the Xbox, is even when I'm not using them, the Xbox thinks the headset is connected. So unless I want to go and unplug the USB every time, it would break my TV audio. So, but for most people that do a headset via the controller or wireless, this will allow them to just, when they put their headset on, it mutes the TV. New console firmware update. So this is where they added reduced latency and the switching between Bluetooth and Xbox wireless for any of the controllers that are not Series X controllers, but do have Bluetooth. So I think this is every Xbox One controller, except for the original ones with the piano black trim at the top. So like if it has the faceplate colored part around the jewel, those are the Bluetooth ones. I think they also have a headset jack on the bottom. Any of the ones before that, the launch ones that had like a little shiny plastic piece at the top, those are not able to be updated. And then finally, this also, I guess, is one of the big ones, is you can now play cloud gaming from console. So if you have an Xbox One, you can actually stream the Series X version of games to your console. So any game that's cloud enabled can now be streamed. Or if you're downloading a game, you can play it while you're waiting for it to download just from the cloud. So you can jump right into a game without, or if you want to try a game without having to waste the time downloading it in case you don't like it, you could just stream it for 30 minutes, see if you like it. And then if you do, set it to download. Any of this jump out at you guys?
I don't know. Did I talk about this last week? But I tried to remote play my Series X last weekend, like a week ago.
I think it was before the last show. Yeah, and it didn't work.
It
I remember you mentioned it in the group. In the group chat.
I wonder. So I got it to work before I left last weekend in the room. Like I was playing the Series X on my phone using the controller through my phone when I was 2 feet away from my Xbox. But then when I was gone, I tried to do it and it could connect to my Xbox. You guys were getting the notification that I was online. So I was turning it on through remote play, but it couldn't get that final step from connecting to the box to actually displaying the box on my phone. And I don't know if it was the internet I was on. I tried different internet. I tried using LTE. I don't have 5G on my phone. It's an older phone, so I only have LTE. But and I know it recommends that you use 5G or a wired connection. So maybe that was part of the problem. But I was using my Elite Series 2. That shouldn't matter, though. Like if I was using a Series X controller, that wouldn't make a difference, right?
No, it shouldn't. I mean, the Series X with this controller update gets the lower latency improvements, but wouldn't have affected it.
I don't know. I'm going to try it again just because I'm going to be going, you know, traveling for the holidays and whatnot for some extended periods of time in the next month. But I'd like to try it. I wanted to. It kind of hurt my head a little bit because I tried it for like 5 or 10 minutes using my cell phone. But I'd still, if I given the option, you know, I'd like to be able to do it.
Yeah, it's also nice because if you're traveling and you want to play, you can also do it in the browser on your laptop and not have to use your phone, which is obviously a bigger screen. So I've done that before when I was in Florida. I have played on my phone some, but I usually only do that when I'm waiting for my wife's car to get her oil changed.
I was wondering if if you could use Apple TV and stream your phone to a TV that had an Apple TV with it. Cause that would be, I mean, it would be some latency probably, but that's kind of funny concept.
You 100% can, but the latency is so bad. Like we're talking like move the joystick, wait a full second before you see an impact.
Yeah.
It's bad.
Yeah.
Because you can also do that with tab mirroring. Like you can send a tab from your computer to a TV or a Chromecast, and the latency is horrible though, because you're basically streaming from your phone to your laptop, from your laptop to the TV, and then one of those things is connected to the cloud. So it's just a lot of stuff to be going over wireless with latency. Every time you introduce a new device, you're introducing more latency and lots of it on some of those devices. So number five, the leaked game that I didn't put in previous shows because I didn't think it was all that interesting. And I was worried that this, when it was announced, was going to be more of like a mobile game port, which it doesn't seem to be the case. And you might be wondering, what is he talking about? So WB Games announced their new game called Multiversus, which is basically a play on multiverse, but it's a versus fighting game. And it's in the style of a, it's Super Smash Brothers style fighting game. It's going to be free to play. All the characters are characters from WB IP, that, and then they've given them like special abilities and perk loadouts, and then you can unlock skins and stuff. So on the surface, I thought this was going to be kind of a low budget game, like that SpongeBob SquarePants Nickelodeon fighter that came out recently that kind of bombed. Nobody really talked about. But what shocks me about this one is the gameplay looks pretty serious. Like they've chased after the fighting game community to make it in a way that it might be attractive to that group. And then the voice talent is insane. So the characters that have been announced are Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman, Harley Quinn, Shaggy, Bugs Bunny, Arya Stark, Jake the Dog, Finn the Human, Steve Universe, Garnett from Steve Universe, Tom and Jerry, Rhine Dog, which is a new character, and then they have more that they're going to be announced. But they've got, here's some iconic voices that are coming. Kevin Conroy, the iconic voice of Batman, is back. Tara Strong, the original voice of Harley Quinn, she's back. Matthew Lillard, who famously played Shaggy in the Scooby-Doo movie, is back for Scooby to play Shaggy. Let's see. There was one other. Maisie Williams from Game of Thrones is back for Arya Stark. John DiMaggio is back as Jake the Dog. And I think those are some of the big ones. I mean, some of these other ones might be big, and I just am not familiar with the IP to know that they're the people that voice these characters in animation. But I don't know. This is not for me, but I could see where this might land if it's done well. I don't know. What are you guys feeling on this?
I appreciated that they brought back Kevin Conroy and George Newbern for Batman and Superman, if you'll remember from the Justice League animated show.
Yeah.
Hype. I'm hyped about that. The boys right there. The OGs.
Look, it has Superman in it, and it's free to play, so I'm going to try it. Even if I don't like it, I'm going to try it just to see if it's fun.
I don't know if I'll play it, but I'll check it out.
Is you said the gameplay looks serious? What does that mean? I didn't even know that there was gameplay out.
No, not serious, because it's definitely like a light tone, like as far as its bright colors and like the characters have outlines. What I mean is they've built serious infrastructure for fighting games. Like they have some like fallback anti-cheat and stuff that like the fighting game community really wants in a fighting game.
So is it an animation style that's like Injustice, or is it more cartoony?
It's way more cartoony. It's like
I think I know what you're talking about then. Okay,
yeah,
gotcha.
It's super cartoony. I'm trying to think of an analog to it. Think like not Teen Titans Go, but the other Teen Titans show, where it's definitely cartoony, very heavily cartoony, like not quite Fortnite, but along more like Fortnite than Mortal Kombat. So yeah, I mean, it looks cool. At least I it has a chance, I guess, which the Nickelodeon one never seemed like it did. So we'll see how this turns out, if it gets embraced by the fighting game community or not. At the very least, since it's free to play, I'm going to check it out just to hear the iconic voice of Kevin Conroy and to play as Superman and beat the crap out of Bugs Bunny. But that's it.
Yeah, for real. I hope Big Chungus makes an appearance in Bugs Bunny's arsenal.
Yeah, I wonder if they plan
if
to
he
add
doesn't,
more characters.
We'll be Riot.
Like over time too, since
costumes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they did say there's going to be costumes.
Big Chungus costume.
So I don't
cosmetic.
Know. Also, I'm going to riot if they like have Superman in a chicken suit or some stupid skin.
Question, is this like a 1v1 like Injustice, or is it like Smash Bros where it's like
it's Smash.
Eight players on them?
It's 1v1, 2v2, or 4v4, and it's exactly like Smash Brothers. Like it's zoomed out, 2D. Like
not 4v4, you mean like 1v1v1v1v1v1v.
Like like an arena.
No,
style.
I think you can play 4v4 as well. But you also probably
can
be 1v1v1v1. Yeah,
gotcha.
Free for all. I'm actually not sure on that answer. I know that it can be up to 8 players, but I'm not sure if it's teams or if it's free for all. I think it's both, but it really is Smash Brothers, but they took WB characters and then made them all like super cartoony. So I mean, the art style, if you ask me, the art style could be slightly less cartoony. I think they've maybe taken it a little too far, but it's also really hard to get Tom and Jerry to work alongside Arya Stark, right? Like the tone there is quite a big jump. She's the one that, of all these people, she's the one that is like, really? That Game of Thrones?
I wonder if they'll get other Game of Thrones people in there eventually. It'd be kind of neat.
Well, it's also like Arya Stark is very arguably, I'm sure, but she's not like the most iconic person of Game of Thrones, right? Like most people would probably more relate to Kit Harington's character or...
that's what I was going to say.
Or even, you know, the Dragon Queen, Daenerys Targaryen.
Or even, what's his face? The Tyrion. I don't know why I can't remember his name.
Yeah, well, he's not much of a fighter, though. He's more of a, what does he say? I drink it, I know things.
Yeah, true. That's a good point. I think you're right. I think Jon Snow would have made the most sense for at least one character from Game of Thrones for this.
Yeah, but and if you're going to have Jon Snow, throw in the Night King, you know? And if you're going to have Superman, why not get Doomsday in there, a cartoon version of Doomsday? I mean, like, you could also do some antagonists to make those, like, flush out the universe. But then again, this is already DC Comics heavy. It feels like there's a lot of Adventure Time and DC Comics stuff in here.
And this is also, I mean, because it's the WB, I mean, they can draw from a very large pool, clearly, as evidenced by this beginning roster for DLC and everything else down the line, since it is free to play.
Yeah, each season they could even like do like a theme, like adding content from whatever universe and then just put in, you know, two new characters or whatever. I don't know. Like I said, I think this is going to be really interesting, but it's so hard to get into this space, and this game could very easily be the next big thing and be the Smash Brothers that's multi-platform, or it could bomb and just be the next Nickelodeon fighter that nobody plays. So it's hard to tell. This one's somewhere in between, right? Like, I don't have a great feeling about this, but I don't have a horrible feeling either. The fact that they got all this voice cast is really reassuring. But then again, you can hire anybody with enough money. So, let's see. I've got one more story in the news, and then we'll do some quick hits. So the final story of the week is Game Pass additions for the month of November. And there's a lot, but nothing too notable. So Dead Space and Dragon Age Origins were added to cloud streaming. Next Space Rebels is coming. Actually, these are all available now. Next Space Rebels, XO1, Fae Tactics, My Friend Pedro, and Undungeon. And then coming soon, we have Deer Simulator. I don't know why it has so many ears. November 23rd. Mortal Shell, November 23rd. Evil Geniuses 2, November 30th. And then I saw on Twitter that Lawn Mowing Simulator, the game that Gus downloaded the trial of, and he is now summoned into existence, is coming to Xbox Game Pass. I'm not gonna lie, I really want to try this out now that it's coming to Game Pass. I will mow some lawns. I hate mowing lawns in real life, but for some reason I will do it in a video game.
Hey, I don't know. I wish it was less of like a you're running a business and more of you're maintaining your own lawn.
Oh, I forgot it's a business thing. I'm out again.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that was the thing I didn't really care much for. I was like, dang, if only it was just like, man, I'm just mowing my own lawn. Like, you build your own house or whatever, and then you just mow the lawn, and then...
Well, yeah, but like, then you gotta wait 2 weeks to mow it again.
Yeah, like YouTube videos. Yeah, imagine if I had, like, real-time grass cutting. That would be crazy.
Also, well, I mean, PC building simulator is the same. Like, when you build a PC, they do have a mode where you can custom build a PC, but the main mode is the campaign where you're running like a PC repair shop and like builds come in and you're supposed to like either fix them or upgrade them or whatever. So I think all these simulator games are of a similar ilk. So also there's quite a few games leaving at the end of the month. So leaving November 30th, we got Call of the Sea, FIFA 19, Football Manager 21, Football 21, Xbox Edition, Haven, Hello Neighbor, Morcred, is that right? Morcred? That's actually on console. I've never even heard of that one. And then VA 11, Hall A, Cyberpunk Bartender Action. And then leaving December 8th, this is the big one, Destiny 2, Beyond Light, Shadowkeep, and Forsaken are leaving on December 8th. So that's a big deal. A lot of these make sense. Like Football Manager 21 is leaving because 22 was just added. FIFA 19 is leaving because they always like only have so many FIFAs in EA Play, and then they drop some of the older ones.
So, My Friend Pedro coming back because it was on Game Pass last year.
And it left for a few weeks and came back. It was only gone like maybe a month. Love that game, by the way. Highly recommend it. Very good.
And Call of the Sea, that's another one that stood out. That was a game that I think you and I both played. I think you beat it, Tim, but you told me not to waste my time finishing it, so I never did.
Yeah, it was fine. It was cool aesthetically, but it got weirder and weirder as it went on, and it didn't stick with me. Like, looking back, I'm like, I would have been fine if I didn't play that. A lot of people loved it, though, so I don't want to trash
the art style. The art style is super cool. Like, that was the one thing where I was like, I was a little hesitant, but at the time I had stuff to play, and definitely now I have stuff to play. But the art style, I love that art style. I don't know what it is about it, but it's super cool. It's kind of like a Sea of Thieves, but a little bit more realistic. It's like a more realistic Sea of Thieves, I guess you could say. Yeah. I really like it though.
It's like, not, these aren't all the same, but like Bioshock, Dishonored, Sea of Thieves, they're all a little bit different, but they all kind of have this, like, it's almost like animated clay like models to it. Like everything has kind of like smooth, like it's both polygonal while also looking modern. I don't know. It's definitely not realistic proportions, but it's like a stylized version of it. But you're right. It did have a cool art style. I just didn't like really what it became towards the end of the game, but a lot of people really liked it. It got really out there as far as sci-fi type stuff.
Yeah, I played the first few hours of it, and I was starting to get a little weird. And once you told me that, I just looked it up. I think I looked it up on Reddit or maybe or somewhere else, and I was like, oh, yeah, that does seem like it gets pretty strange.
Yeah, but, you know, that was just me personally. The game, like, was the gameplay and stuff like that was all solid. It was just the story got kind of strange, kind of weird, which some people will dig. So, I mean, if you have Game Pass, it might be worth checking out if you're looking for something to play. Okay, moving on. We got quick hits, 5 quick hits this week. First up, Saints Row has been delayed to August 2022. They're basically blaming the pandemic, and they're not adding any new features. It's all going to be time for polish and making the game like the best version of what they already announced. Number 2, Minecraft Caves and Cliffs Part 2 has now been dated. It's coming November 30th. This is the big update for Minecraft that was split into 2 updates, the second part of which is coming next week, or this week now. And then number 3, they've added a 360 inspired animated theme for Series X, and that is available now. So they added the one for original Xbox, now there's one for 360. Number 4, Fortnite and Rocket League are getting a Series S bundle for the holidays. So Xbox always does a holiday bundle. And I don't know if you guys have noticed, but the Xbox Series S is on store shelves. Like, you can go to BestBuy.com and buy one right now. So, like, it's finally caught up with demand to where you can buy one. And I've heard it's doing very well in emerging markets and some overseas countries. So it seems like Series S will be the console to get this holiday if you can't get your hands on a PS5 or a Series X. Anyway, so this Fortnite Rocket League bundle comes with 1,000 Fortnite V-Bucks, 1,000 Rocket League credits, and the console itself. And it doesn't cost anything extra. It's still $300. And finally, Dragon Ball The Breakers, was announced. This is an asymmetric multiplayer game, sort of like Dead by Daylight. And it's where you play as like a random character that you created, and you hide from Cell and potentially other villains. And this is the weirdest mashup I've ever seen of just taking Dragon Ball anime and really just the world, because it's not even that many of the characters, and make it a hide and seek multiplayer game. Very, very strange. But if you're a huge Dragon Ball fan, it might be for you. If you're a huge asymmetric fan, it might be for you. But I think this is just like the weirdest mashup ever. So with that, I will take a breath and you guys can respond to any of the quick hits that strike your fancy.
Yeah, I actually have something to say about 3 of them for once.
Wow.
Caves and Clips update. I'm hype. I might actually install Minecraft and play it again now because I've been waiting for that. The 360 animated background or whatever, I'm actually kind of, I think that sounds kind of cool. So I might check that out.
Yeah, it's and those dope my friend actually green literally rings from the packaging. The original 360 packaging had it on it. Looks good.
Yep. Swag. And then my friend literally texted me today. He texted me this morning saying, I'm buying an Xbox tonight because I've been trying to get him to buy a Series X. And he literally mentioned that Walmart deal. So he said today at 11:26, buying an Xbox tonight at midnight. I'm like, you found one? And he's like, Walmart is going to have a Series X and PS5 for sale online tonight at midnight. And I was like, good luck, soldier.
Yeah, good luck. Hopefully if you get it before they sell out.
Yeah, so...
Apparently, the PS5 is going to be even harder to get because they just reduced production by 1 million units because of shortages in components. So Xbox really can capitalize on the market if they can keep their production up. It's all a production constrained environment, right? Like what console sells best each month isn't based on which one is wanted the most. It's based on which one can get the most parts.
The one that can be built. Yeah. I was just going to comment, obviously, on Saints Row. It was February 25th was the release date, I think, which was the same day, same week as Elden Ring and the next Destiny 2 expansion, Witch Queen, right? So I think that's got to be a big part of it. They won't say that. They would never say that on the record, but that's got to be a huge part of it. Yeah, now,
delayed it 7
to
months.
To me, right, 6 months. to me, if it was just that, then you delay it to maybe this late spring, you know, like a May release date, which I think Saints Row the Third or maybe Saints Row 4 came out in the springtime. I want to say that sounds right in my head. So I think it's both. I think if it was just because of those games, you delay it maybe a month, or maybe you delay it to like May or something. But I think maybe there is a little bit of truth and then wanting to polish it more and just spend some more time on it. I will also be interested to see if it's just PR speak about not changing some core functions of the game. But yeah, it's fine. I mean, I'm a little sad that it's getting delayed because I was starting to kind of warm up to it in my head. Still kind of sad that none of the characters from the first four games would be in it that we know of, but I was starting to get a little bit over that. But now that it's delayed, I mean, it's fine. I was already, you know, the spring will be when I play Far Cry 6 or obviously, like I said before, I'll be playing Guardians in January. So we'll see. I mean, it sucks in a way, but it's not that big of a deal. So, oh well.
Yeah. I'm almost never mad when the only people that are mad when games are delayed are people that want to play a buggy mess instead of waiting for some polish. So I don't know. It's to me, it's just like, okay, cool. There's lots of games to play, but there's also probably people out there that only care about one franchise, right? If like, this is the only game you play and you're still playing Saints Row 3 or Saints Row 4 and you've been waiting years for this game. Okay. Waiting another 6 months probably is hard, but would you rather they give you a bad mess or that the people that made it have to work in horrible conditions working 16 hours a day? Probably not. So I don't know. Man, it feels good to be having like lots of exciting news every week. And you know what? We're only a week and a half away from the Game Awards. And the last several years, Xbox has announced something at the Game Awards. So I think we have something new to look forward to for that, at least. And we still have Halo obviously coming. So we'll have lots to do there. I'm really excited. When I get home from Thanksgiving, I really want to play a lot more Halo multiplayer. I really want to get that samurai looking armor that's dropping in their first event. That looks dope. I can't wait to get that. So whatever grind is required to get that, I will endure.
Yeah, I need to look into that because I kind of want that too. You said it's just this week though?
No, well, I don't know how long it lasts, but I know it starts on the 22nd, which is Tuesday, and then it's going to run for at least a week. And it's a challenge. Like they almost have like these challenge unlock cards and you have to complete challenges specific to the event. So I don't know if the event's going to have like its own playlist with like a special mode, or if you're just going to play like quick play and try and do specific challenges. I think it's going to have a special mode with a special game type, but it doesn't matter. I want that samurai armor and it's the first like cool armor set they're going to have. So I'm going to do whatever is required of me to get that armor. Plus I'm sure like it'll be one of those things that they say stuff's going to come around again in future events. So you'll never only have one opportunity to get something, but you never know. Right. Like, Gjallarhorn was early in Destiny 1 and didn't come around again forever, and people had a really hard time grinding to get it or just never got it. And the same thing with Forza. Like sometimes they put a car up in a really rare car early in a season of Forza, and if you didn't play that week, well, you're just sold out. You're never going to have that car. Like I'm never going to get the Sesto Elemento Forzathon edition unless I get it in a wheel spin or buy it for a million credits, you know, millions and millions of credits in the auto show, or what do you call it, the auction house. So I don't know, like I said, I'm gonna scoop it up while it's here, because who knows when it'll come around again. Plus it's been in all the marketing stuff and I've fallen for their hype, right? Like they've got me. I'm in. Plus now that I know I'm not going to play Battlefield 2042, at least until they patch it, I've got some time to kill. So that is all this week. It is an exciting time to be an Xbox gamer. We have stuff coming left and right. And there's plenty to play on Game Pass. So thanks for listening. I really appreciate it. I'm Tim Shelton. You can follow me on Twitter, as always, at Tim Shelton. And yeah.
I'm Spencer Rain. You can follow me on Twitter at Makes It Rain. Go Colts and go Boilers.
Yeah. And I'm Gus Harden.
See you next week.
New episodes post every Monday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern. You can contact us on Twitter at MultiformPod or by email at questions@multiformpodcast.com. If you enjoyed our show and you're feeling extra generous, please share it with your friends or on social media. You can subscribe on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, or anywhere you listen.